This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier, the online course alchemist of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, and a weekly top tip for online course creation. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest on to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we are at episode number 53. And two interesting things to bring you about the number 53 this week, Sharon. So 53 is an Einstein prime number. Bet you didn't know that one. But for me, the more exciting one, because it harks back to my childhood, is that 53 was, of course, the number of Herbie the Beetle, the little racing car that could, from all those movies from, what was it, the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Yes. Herbie the Beetle, number 53. There we go. That's our interesting facts about the number 53 for this week. What do you reckon?
What do you reckon? Well, indeed, I've got a very soft spot for Beetles because that was actually my first car.
Oh, how exciting!
My first car, like an absolute rust bucket. It was an absolute rust bucket, kind of that was barely sort of holding together. You know, I remember driving it in the winter and the ice actually sort of, the windows icing up on the inside.
I so remember that with my first car. Yeah, completely. Because my first car wasn't a Beetle, it was a Fiesta. RUK170Y. And I loved that car. Only had four gears. Ended up having a coat hanger for an aerial because the aerial got broken off. And it was so cheap and cheerful to maintain, though. I mean, even in those days, and this is years ago, we won't mention how long. I mean, do you remember the reg of your first car?
No, I don't remember that though.
I remember the registration of all the cars that I've had.
This would have been about 1990, I think.
Same thing.
But it was really exciting, and I didn't know that a thing about Beetle drivers. You know, they all wave to each other. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I knew that camper van drivers do, but
yeah, it's the same thing, isn't it? BMW. So basically, I remember just driving along and everything, and then, you know, somebody flashing their lights or waving. I was like, oh, what is this?
What's happened? What's wrong?
What's wrong? And I sort of slowly worked out that it's kind of a thing.
Oh.
People drivers, yeah.
I think that's lovely.
To somebody that I worked with, I was working down in London, but she was in the Birmingham office when. Mm-hmm. Company that used to live, and she was she loved Beetles as well, and she bought it, and I remember her husband coming down and he drove it all the way back from Croydon to Birmingham.
Wow.
Wondering whether it would make it.
Definitely.
So yeah my yellow Beetle, bless it.
Oh, there is something about your first car, isn't there? It's sort of, you know, even though it would break down as soon as look at it and all that kind of stuff. I remember one time, because I was lucky enough to have it whilst I was at uni, and it was all my mum's idea. I mean, I'd just assumed I wouldn't have one until after I graduated, or, you know, at some unspecified point in the future. Anyway, she insisted, and she and my dad went halves on it. And I remember my third year? Must have been third or fourth year. the exhaust had a rather distinctive sound. It may or may not have had a hole in it. I remember hearing it being stolen from outside of the front of the house, because, I mean, you know, a rubbishy old Fiesta. There was no security on it or alarm or anything like that. So I was able to phone the police straight away, and it was a couple of local known joyriders, and they were driving it up and down the main avenue, that kind of thing. The police recovered it, and one of them drove it back, and he came in and handed me the keys and said, "Yes, Miss Tessier, the brakes are a little on the spongy side." Yes, thank you very much, officer. Yes, I'll get that sorted. Yes. Oh, loved that car. I was very upset when I had to get rid of it and get the next one. And it's funny, every car that I have really loved, so that one and my Puma, I loved my Puma, which is my last car before the one I've got at the moment. Loved those cars. The very next one, don't get on with it at all. Do not get on with it. I mean, the one I've got at the moment has, to be fair, done a very, very good job for me, but I've never loved it the way I loved my Puma. Anyway,
that was a digression, wasn't it?
Digression and a half, all from the number 53. There you go. You never know what you're going to get with this podcast, listeners. I tell you that. Well, actually, sometimes you do know what you're going to get if you've watched any sports news from over the weekend at all. Shall we move on to that, Sharon? How's your week been?
Can I just say?
Yes.
Can I just say a couple of tennis things? I'm just going to get them in there. Number one, you know, Andy Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what can you say?
What a comeback.
I mean, flipping heck, there he was, like, in Australia, not even a year ago, like 9 months ago, basically, you know, thinking his career was over and in floods of tears and having that ridiculously premature obituary.
Yeah.
Standing on the court. But, you know, going off to have his operation and being told that, like, nobody had ever played tennis again.
After,
well, not strictly true. Bob Bryan had obviously had the same operation, but obviously he's a doubles player.
Yeah.
The doubles is completely different in terms of wear and tear on the body.
Mm-hmm.
So no singles player has ever come back from that kind of operation to play tennis at any level, never mind, you know, level that he aspires to. And, the thing is, if anybody can do it, then Andy Murray can, basically, because he's just such, has such grit and determination, doesn't he? And so when he won, the tournament yesterday in Antwerp, oh my goodness, you know, he was just in floods of tears, and I think everybody else was as well. Including me.
Definitely. Well, it's a huge, huge thing, isn't it? And that's one of the things that I really like about how he has matured as a person. And let's face it, I mean, you know, he was in the public eye at a very young age and obviously had a talent as a sportsman and was very passionate about the sport, but kind of got attention for sometimes all of the wrong reasons and sort of, you know, letting the mental game get on top of him and losing his rag and all the rest of it. But the fact that obviously there is a flip side to that passion in that it means so much to him, and to see him keep it together to fight on court, and then only when he's finally won to let it all out, I think it's fabulous to you know, see that it really does mean so much to him, and it has to have meant that much to him to have had that operation and to have fought back in that way. It's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. So that was lovely. So that was lovely part of the weekend. And then, you know, the other big tennis-related event, which, you know, some might say not so lovely as far as I'm concerned, but I'm going to be generous and say I think it's lovely, is that Rafa got married.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. Well, he just got fed up with being turned down by you so many times. So, you know, he decided to marry his girlfriend of 14 years.
So I don't begrudge you the slightest. And as I said to you in the preamble, she's very nice because Ryan's met her. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So she's got the Sun seal of approval. So there we are. It can't all be bad. Although I did, when I saw the news, I did consider sending you an in sympathy card, but you know.
Oh, but like all weekend we were waiting for these like pictures, you know. Photos. We want to see Rafa on his wedding day, you know. And like, you know, tennis Twitter was like getting itself in the right
tears. I can imagine.
Photos. I keep refreshing and there's nothing there. They wouldn't let people had to leave their phones outside. They wouldn't let anybody take non-official photos.
Yeah.
So we were waiting, and they finally came out last night, and they're lovely. What a lovely couple.
She said through gritted teeth. There we go.
Yeah,
now the truth starts coming out. Yeah. She's really lovely. And what a lucky woman. Yes.
One of my fellow passionate fans, mm-hmm. friend and passionate fan put something on Facebook. She just put, "It's a very sad day for me."
Oh, good grief.
Bless her.
Aww. Well, yeah. I think it's lovely that, you know, he's tied the knot and there we are. That's all there is to be said about. I'm sure that's not all there is to be said about it, but you know.
Yeah, well, he can get back to playing tennis now because he's had some time off.
Oh, well.
His wedding, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, he needs to get back on the case.
Come on, Rafa, priorities. All right. So, apart from that little digression into Tennis Talk, the podcast, what else has happened in your week this last week?
Oh, my goodness. So, again, it's been loads of stuff happening this week. We had our spotlight session for Trainer Talk members
yes,
last
indeed.
Thursday.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And that was all about overwhelm. Mm-hmm. We talked about what overwhelm is, what causes it, how does it make us feel, what to do about it. And I have to say, it was a fantastic conversation.
Really
enjoyed it. And on the face of it, it was like something that is slightly less businessy as a topic compared to all the other ones that we've done.
Yeah.
But actually, what became clear from the conversation that we had, that it is a real business related topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is important, and it really does affect us all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody. There was only a small group, but it was a really in-depth discussion, and everybody was kind of, yeah, everybody had their stories to share about what happens to them when they feel overwhelmed, and you know how it affects them,
yeah,
and what to do about it. And it was really funny actually, because we kind of really dug deep into the causes. Sorry, not the causes, but the solutions.
Yeah.
Again, you know, those familiar things came out about, you know, making sure that you're focused, that you're clear on where you're heading, you know, pricing, valuing yourself, setting your priorities, all those things we talk about all the time, on the face of it, have nothing to do with overwhelm, but actually they have everything to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's so easy to fall into being overwhelmed if you're not familiar with it, or if you're just not, you know, your eyes off the ball for a little while, and all of a sudden things creep up on you. And it's I think we, as independent business owners, I think we are used to a certain amount of pressure on a month-to-month basis in general, because there is sort of, you know, where's the next job coming from, the next project, the next client, all of those sorts of things. And, you know, yes, we can set up systems and processes to be in place. However, as we've seen for a couple of members this year, you know, sometimes the perfect storm happens and, you know, a couple of clients drop off, or a couple of projects don't come off, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a higher pressure situation. And that's when overwhelm kicks in, because for me, I was disappointed not to be able to make that for reasons that I will explain in my review of my week. But for me, the thing that I have to work most on is just keeping my sense of perspective to, you know, how important various things are relative to each other. And also, I tend to sort of race ahead a little bit in terms of I want to get things in the future sorted out now, instead of allowing myself extra time to get them done in time. So I guess that's impatience, is it? I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I would rather, if I know something is on the horizon, I'd rather put stuff in place to know that I can deal with it now, and then it's done, and then I don't have to worry about it, and then I can think about the next things, rather than kind of, you know, have it hanging over me, so to speak. I don't like leaving things, particularly financial things, I don't like leaving them till the last minute. You know, but sometimes you have to sort of go with the flow for things like that. So for me, it's a sort of a constant, to avoid overwhelm, it's constantly reminding myself of the facts of a situation rather than necessarily relying on my feelings about something, and adjusting my feelings to suit. Does that make any kind of sense?
Absolutely. And we talked about, you know, the dangers of overcommitment. You know, I was bringing my example to the table of September, you know, when I clearly overcommitted myself, and also being really mindful of how long things actually take, as opposed to how long you think they're going to take, because I think a lot of us are just kind of over optimistic and we say yes to a lot of things that perhaps we shouldn't. And you know, and we talked about should as well a lot, you know, about the choices that we make in our business about you know, are you doing it because you think you should be doing it, or are you doing it because you want to do it, or whether, you know, it makes good sense for your business. So yeah, there was so much stuff came out of that. So if you are a Trainer Talk member listening to this, I encourage you to go and have a look at the recording in this area, because it was really, really thought-provoking, very useful.
Excellent. No, I'm definitely going to do that, because I mean, you know, just having this little conversation about it now is sparking all sorts of thoughts and ideas in my head about dealing with it. So yeah, excellent, very good tip to go and have a listen to that. Good.
I really love that. And then obviously we had two Trainer Talk locals last Friday, two together, two for the price of one. So we had Leeds.
Yay, finally.
At last we had Leeds.
Yay.
And we had London, which is actually our second London event after running one in the summer. And both of them had really good attendance, so that was fantastic. Both of them, Terry Pierce, who's the local leader for London, and Natalie Houlton, who's the local leader for Leeds, both of them surpassed themselves in terms of the cakes that they produced. I mean, this is turning into something of a hashtag TT Bake Off.
It is. Correct. Yeah. And I think, you know, Terry is setting the bar very high, it has to be said.
He is and he isn't, because I did notice that there was a little bit of cheating going on there, because he put a photo of this amazing triple layer chocolate cake into the group, which I was staggered by, because he told me that he was going to make a cake and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then he put a photo in the group and I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. And then after about half an hour, he admitted that it actually was a photo of one of Nigella's.
Dun, dun, dun.
But he maintained that it did actually look the same.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what he said.
As Sheridan said in the group, Sheridan Webb, our Trainer Talk local leader for Liverpool, no pics, didn't happen. So, you know, unless you get photos of your actual cake,
actual cake,
not the cake that you're aspiring to produce, the actual cake, it never happened.
So I was kind of, you know, I was a little bit, you know, letting the side down.
Definitely. Oh, that's a black mark against your name there, Terry. Sorry.
You know, had evidence of her lemon drizzle.
She did. It looked very nice.
Very good.
Very good. Oh, wow. You know.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
Definitely. And also, we've got a new local leader, do we not?
We do. Well, you just rudely interrupted me there.
Sorry.
That was number five on my list.
Sorry.
If she brought it up, then I will announce.
Oh dear.
But we do have a new local leader for Lichfield. And for those of you who aren't in the Midlands, who may not know where Lichfield is, it's on the M42, just north of the airport. So a really good place, a really good catchment area, actually. And the lovely Amanda Jackson has agreed to be our local leader for Lichfield. So we're very excited about that, because Amanda's been a member of Trainer Talk for years, one of our long-standing members, and she's lovely.
She is.
And she'll do a great job.
She will do. And she's also evidence that just because you start training one thing doesn't mean you can't flip if you find a passion elsewhere, because Amanda started her freelance business as a sales trainer, and very good at it she is too, but then ended up getting qualified as a mental health first aider, and is now, I think she is now qualified as a mental health first aid trainer, so trainer of first aiders, which is fantastic. And you know, she's just gone, funnily enough, since she made that switch, she's gone from strength to strength with her business, which I think is fantastic.
She really has. I mean, she's running public workshops, mental health first aid side, and she's running 1 month.
Yeah.
1 month and getting booked for those.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's really good.
which is really great. But she's really niched herself into not only that particular area.
Oh, what's that in the background?
I don't know what that is. Incoming phone call from somewhere. From when you get two people working from home, this is what happens.
Well, yes.
Excuse me one second.
All right, then.
Sorry, I don't know where that's coming from. It's only the other place to join that. So she's evidence of not only niching in terms of a specific subject, but also she's doing it certainly within her local area. So she's doing that kind of training course for local businesses.
Yeah.
In Lichfield and surrounding area. So that was all very exciting. So it was really good news. Number three on my list is I did a podcast interview last week, another one.
Yep.
So I was interviewed by the lovely Jo Cook on her training journal.
Oh, brilliant.
Which was great. So we had a little chat about the subject that she wanted me to talk about, which was pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, subject obviously of really interest to readers of Training Journal, many of which are freelance trainers and coaches. So that was great. That was really nice.
Excellent.
And the last thing on my list is that I had took the lovely Carrie, so a fellow Train Talk member, and friend, I took to have her colours done.
Aha! So, seriously, you need to get commission from Jane for this.
I have. I mean, so I know she listens. So
that's why I said it. I know she listens too.
Hello,
Jane.
I have put numerous clients her way, but she has rewarded me because she did take me on that shopping trip.
That's true. You're right. I'd forgotten.
Lovely. That was lovely of her.
Yeah.
But we had, as usual, we had a great, great time. You know, we just have a really good chat before we get down to the actual business.
Of course.
Then Carrie took me out for lunch later, so that was lovely. Mm-hmm. So that was a really fun morning. And I said it before, I said it again, Jane Brooke, she's brilliant at her job. She's an absolute genius.
Yeah.
And anybody who goes to see Jane to have either her colour, your colours done or your style done, and actually I think you should do the two together, will not be disappointed because it is life-changing.
Yeah.
Every single person that has been, myself included, has described it as life-changing. So, and Carrie was no exception. So aww, that was great.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. Really, really cool. All right. So having sort of robbed you of the opportunity to have number five on your list. Well, you were talking about Trader Talk Local, and it's exciting.
Yeah, we have it's called an agenda.
Okay. Yeah, all right, Mum. Oh, dear. Well, fine. I'm going to talk about my week now. So then, no. So, yeah, so last week it was my birthday. So on the Tuesday, I turned 21 again, as people keep telling me. Although I feel a bit more creaky than I did when I was 21, that's for sure. But that was lovely. I had a lovely day. So I have a sports massage every month with my friend anyway. And it happened to coincide with my birthday. So that was nice. So they put on a little birthday lunch for me, which was lovely. And then we took the dogs for a walk in the local park, which was really nice. And then went out for a Thai meal in the evening, which was very, very nice. And, you know, tried not to do any work on that day. But as is always the way, there's always things that crop up. Not least, lovely Natalie Hilton wanting me to open and close the booking form for Lee.
That was
oh dear, there's no point in putting a sold out sign on it if somebody writes to her and says, please can I come? She says, yeah, all right then. So I had to go in and change that and then sort it out again and all the rest of it. And there were a few other bits and pieces that needed doing as well. And then throughout the rest of the week, it was a fairly, I'm going to say fairly ordinary week, but ordinary insofar as there was a lot of stuff to do, including sort of a major project that I've been working on as a collaborative project with some other trainers over the course of this year. And it's been fantastic as a learning exercise, not only in terms of collaborative working, but in terms of the sort of stuff we're doing. My part of the project has been to produce e-learning videos, obviously in conjunction with my fellow trainers. And I've been doing very much the technical side of things, and not so much the content, but the putting together of all the animations and all that kind of thing. It's been fascinating and really, really good fun. But it has rather dragged on a little bit longer than everyone anticipated. And then all of a sudden last week, we sort of, having waited and waited and waited, we kind of got to a position where all of a sudden everything was being signed off in quick succession, ready for us to, I'd say us, me, to apply the voiceover and the music and the final finishing touches for them to launch this week. So it was all kind of all hands to the pump sort of thing, which is why I had to miss the spotlight session on Thursday. So I have no time to do anything other than get this stuff done and get other stuff done that needed doing as well. And isn't it always the way when you are in the middle of, you know, something that's really urgent, other things come along that have to be done at the same time. And there were just, you know, little things like I've got the women's development group that I'm a co-leader for. We've got our next event is tomorrow night, Tuesday night. So there's all the sort of the joining instructions to be sent out. And our speaker on this occasion has asked for some pre-work to be done, some prep to be done before the session, because we like to make them interactive. It's not just a turn up and sit down, have a drink and listen to somebody. We want people to have actual takeouts, like you do for Trainer Talk Live, right? It's not just a question of sitting there and absorbing. You want to stimulate the mind and all the rest of it. So that needed sorting out and sending. And the system, because we do it on a shoestring, because it's all voluntary, it's all sort of quite antiquated and labour intensive to get it all sorted. So that needed doing. Then there's all the hockey stuff, because I'm right in the middle of the hockey season. So there's all of that kind of stuff that needs doing, and some admin bits behind that for people that have had assessments and need their promotions and da-da-da-da. And then I'm getting sort of, you know, messages from people who were supposed to have had stuff sorted out the week before. And this is on the website side, so asked me to put together a website for them, which is great and all the rest of it, and then suddenly popping up and going, oh, what about this domain name, or oh, I've got this stuff and da da da, and it's just like, okay, but you know, if you'd done this when we agreed you were going to do it, I'd have had time to do it then. But so my sort of the back end of last week, and really apart from Saturday, I mean, I managed to squeeze a bit of work in on Saturday, but Saturdays in the winter are really hockey days. You know, most of my time has been sort of trying to squish in absolutely everything that I possibly can to get stuff done and out the window, because I've got other exciting things that that I need to start working on and implementing, not least some bits and pieces for you. So it's sort of, you know, I've been sort of a bit like what's the analogy? It's the duck, isn't it, on the pond? So, or the swan looks very serene up above, and then underneath, furiously. Yeah, let's not go back to Swangate. But you know, paddling furiously underneath the surface is what's occurring at the moment. But it will all get done, and so the irony, therefore, of you know, keeping on top of myself in terms of the overwhelm stakes, but not having enough time to actually attend the thing to talk about overwhelm, because I've got so much that needs to be done.
Yeah,
it's at risk of giving me overwhelm if I don't get it done. So
I did have a few sort of tongue-in-cheek emails about that.
Did you?
I imagine, like, I would love to come along to this, but I'm so overwhelmed.
Oh, we're a funny lot, us trainers, aren't we? It's all good. It's all good. And then yesterday, I should have mentioned this as well. And this will link nicely, obviously, into, well, I say obviously, it's obvious to us because we know what we're going to talk about. For you listeners, you have to wait and see. But I did another experiment yesterday of a follow along. Letting people watch me build an online course in one day, which is enormous fun, but it is incredibly labour intensive for me. And I have built another online course, a little mini masterclass, which is how to sell your online course without feeling salesy, which is great. So very pleased to be able to offer that through, get that course online. But at the same time, in amongst everything else. It's like, what on earth was I doing? Saying, oh yeah, I'll do that on Sunday. That'll be a good idea. I mean, come on. You talked about overcommitting yourself earlier. It was just, yeah, at the time I decided I was going to do it, it was fine. Everything could have fitted in. And then all sorts of other stuff came along. So it's like, oh, okay, this is going to make for a fun Sunday then. And so it was. So yeah. So forgive me if I yawn as we're recording this on a Monday morning. There we go. That was my week. So shall we move swiftly into our top of mind topic then?
Well, yes, because as you alluded to there, what I wanted to talk about this morning was experiments.
Yes.
It was triggered by the thought of you spending your Sunday doing that thing that you just described.
Yeah.
Because when it popped up, I just, oh my God, why is she doing that again? You know, she must be mad.
Yes.
And a bit like, you know, when I did my How to Launch Training Business in 30 Day program in September, every day for 30 days, you know, you probably felt the same. But why is she doing that?
Well,
you know, one, it's like, you know, it wasn't a lot of money, and two, it was a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just talk about experiments and, you know, why they're a good thing or why they might be a bad thing, and, you know, what maybe some of the rules, if you are going to do an experiment, what are some of the rules around it to make sure you get the best out of that experience?
Definitely. So I think, for me, I think experimentation is a vital part of any freelance business, any independent business, any business full stop, really. But I think it becomes more difficult the bigger the business becomes, until they are big enough to have, say, an innovation department or something like that. But it's funny enough, back in corporate life, at one point I was involved in new product development, and it's one of those things that it's amazing to have the freedom to experiment with new things, but it's very difficult to justify it in the face of people going, well, what's it done? How's it helped you? Because I think for me, the fundamental thing you have to remember about an experiment is you have to be prepared for it to not do anything, and for it to not work, or for it to not generate any kind of income, or not attract any new people, or just, you know, completely, I guess, the F word, fail. Although, as we've discussed previously, I never consider anything I've done as a failure. It's either worked or it hasn't. And there are very few things that haven't worked at all. I haven't been in a position to go, oh well, I learned something. At the very least, I learned something. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I have tried in the course of running my own business where I've felt it's been a complete and utter waste of time. There's always been something in there to learn. And I just remember the old adage of if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards in business. And I think, I don't think I do that much in the way of experimentation. And I appreciate that, you know, my perception is probably off here. I think compared to you, I don't do very much in the way of experimentation. But that said, I have increased the amount of stuff that I experiment with, I think, since I've been connected to ambassadors and Trainer Talk. Because it's such an encouraging atmosphere for people to be able to talk about, oh, I tried this. And this is what happened. Particularly, I would say in the Ambassadors Mastermind group, because we are encouraging each other to sort of look at things with different perspectives a different way. But I don't want to get sort of sidetracked by that. I think for me, I think experimentation is absolutely vital. But I agree, there should be some parameters and some sort of rules around it, which we can discuss in a little bit, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think... I absolutely agree with you. I think experimentation is absolutely vital. And I think it's one of the, and we talked last week, didn't we, about how to have fun in business.
Yes.
And I do feel quite strongly about this, you know, that it's, you know, it's your business, isn't it? It's our business. And so basically we can just do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not back in the corporate days where every time you had an idea, you had to, like, you know, you got an idea and you know, sort of 3 hours later, you were completely crushed, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good idea, but then nobody else does. So, you know, therefore I'll just forget about it. Or, God, you know, the decision-making processes are just so long and the number of people I have to speak to in order to, you know, sense check that idea.
Completely. It's trial by committee.
The will to live, don't you? But the thing is about our own businesses, you know, we don't have that. We can absolutely anything that we want to do, absolutely anything. So this is the really exciting part about it. This is the real joy of business. So so you've got to grasp that by the horns, and you've got an idea. Instead of just sitting with it and sort of wondering whether it's going to work or whether it's not going to work, you just have to do it. That's the easiest thing to do.
Completely.
And I think you're absolutely right. You'll learn so much about that by doing it. You'll learn something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn something about your market. You'll learn something about your business. And you will know what to do next time. And it will be instead of sort of thinking about it, letting another sort of 6 months go by, think, oh, I wonder if that would work. You know, maybe I'll try this. And, you know, you've actually done it and you can either, you know, carry on with it, or you can go, do you know what? That was a bad idea. Therefore, let's put it to bed and stop worrying about it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Right. It's actually an aid to your decision making process, I think.
I like the way you're thinking about it there. I think you're right. It's something that it shouldn't be a sort of an add-on or a separate talking about should and shouldn't, but I believe it shouldn't be a separate kind of as and when you feel like it or as and when you remember. It should be part and parcel of the way in which you conduct your business. There should be a certain amount of time given over to trying new things and experimenting with new ways of doing things, and also feeding into reviewing what you're currently doing. And just because something has worked previously doesn't mean it's always going to work in the future. So you kind of need to be in that situation of constantly testing new things in case one of them works better than what you're already doing. And that's how you evolve your business. That's how you grow your business. That's how you are able to respond to the changes of the marketplace and what your clients are asking for and so on. So I think that's really, really important to be thinking about it from that point of view, definitely.
And I think, you know, what you were saying about, okay, if we are going to go ahead and experiment, you know, what are some of the things that we can do to make sure that we sort of protect ourselves, if you like, against, you know, experimentation? You know, what you were saying about being prepared for it not to work. And, you know, not, and I think it's important not to get kind of emotionally attached to it.
Agreed.
See what it is. I mean, you know, a case in point, we're going right back to, you know, train sort of membership.
Yes.
You know, that was basically, again, an experiment, because I had reached the point, as I may or may not have said before on this podcast, where Train Sort Lives had been going for a number of years, and everybody, you know, came along and they had a great day out and said very nice things about it, etc. But when I actually, you know, pulled the covers back and looked at the amount of money that I was making for the amount of effort that I was putting in, I thought, this has got to stop. This is really not great. It doesn't make good business sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I decided to turn it into a membership. Now, I kind of justified it to myself, in terms of, well, if nobody joins, there's just not going to be trainer talk anymore, because I can't do this, it doesn't make sense. And that was how I justified it to myself. That was how I made, because I knew that I probably wouldn't get lots of people to join to begin with, but the alternative, if I didn't get it, was to say there's not going to be anything. So in a sense, I kind of made it a little bit easier. It's still nerve-wracking. Made it a little bit easier on myself by kind of putting those parameters around.
Definitely. And I think that is something that's very important when you're thinking about experimentation, is to do a bit of what if planning. So there is the what if it doesn't work at all, what if it works amazingly, you know, beyond my wildest dreams type amazingly, you know, what do I need to think about for both of those scenarios? But also I think you need to think about, okay, then what am I going to do? What am I going to feel? What am I prepared to decide? So for you, it was, okay, this doesn't make business sense. This is kind of the route that I need to go down. It's an experiment, because if it doesn't work, this is what has to happen, because I'm not prepared to go back to doing that the way it was. For most of us, you know, we won't necessarily need to make that momentous a decision about our business. That's a pretty hefty one. But we might want to think about, you know, I'm branching out into a different type of training delivery. I mean, obviously, I'm going to mention face-to-face trainers adding online to their portfolio. That is, for a lot of people, it will be an experiment for them to see if that's something they want to do, which is part of the reason why an experiment that I have done recently was hold the paid webinar. So it's the first and only time I've done a paid webinar so far, which is online for me, which was this huge scoring. I say huge, I don't want it to sound overbearing, but really cool scoring system to say, okay, is your business in a position where you could legitimately go for online at the moment and stand a reasonable chance of it working, or are you not in a position to, or, you know, I think everybody is in a position to do it. It's just for some people it would be harder work than others. So that was an experiment for me, and I got learnings from it. Absolutely got learnings from it. Not least what happens when your PowerPoint slides don't work properly on a webinar. But because that was the one, if you remember, where the clicker wasn't working, and it was all very bizarre. And I think I accused Emma Williams at that point of talking about Mercury being in retrograde, which reminds me, that was hilarious. She sent me a text the other week to say that her mum had talked about Jupiter rising or something like that. I think Emma wants to disown herself from her family now. But yeah, you know, doing those sorts of experiments, you need to say, okay, what am I looking for this to achieve? So you need to set some kind of success factor for the experiment in the first place. What will tell me that this has been a success? What point will I know that it's worked? Maybe it's an amount of money, maybe it's an amount of people, maybe it's some other unknown thing to us that you want to set as your right. If that happens, that means this is a success, and therefore I can do this, that, the other. And even having set that, I think you also need to recognize that it's an experiment, and therefore there is also a possibility that it's not going to do anything that you expect it to, because it is an experiment. By its very nature, it should be something that you've not done before, you've not tried before, you've not used before, or you know, you can experiment with your content, you can experiment with adding blogs to what you do, you can experiment by introducing a newsletter, you can, anything that you haven't done before or haven't done in a particular way or from a particular angle or perspective could be classed as an experiment. So just think about it from the point of view of, what am I looking to achieve with this? What am I hoping to achieve with this? What happens if it doesn't work at all? And what happens if it works beyond my wildest dreams? And I think those at the very least are the sort of parameters that you need to think about.
Brilliant. And I, you know, just this year I've been thinking about all the different experiments that I've done. You know, so Chainsworth Local is an experiment.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
But it's an experiment. The 30-day program was an experiment. Mighty Networks was an experiment. You know, and in all of those things, you know, you do experiments, because quite often there's something that is, like with me, it's kind of nagging away at you. You kind of think, oh, kind of if we did it like that, would it be better? You know, can we make it better? Let's see, because I'm always looking to make things better. And it's great, because once you get the experiment out there, then you kind of know, is it better or is it not? And if it's not, then you either don't do it or go back to the way that it was before. But it's only by it's only by putting it out there that you're going to know, because that's the first thing, when you're just kind of indecisive and you get to the end of the year and you go, oh, I wish I'd done that.
Completely. But then I think that also leads into what we say about, you know, being action takers and you know, done is better than perfect and all that kind of stuff. You can sit there and you can wonder about something, but unless you actually do something about it, you'll never know. And that for me is the worst kind of attitude, is to think about doing something, not do it, and then write it off because you can't imagine it happening.
Or it won't work.
Yeah, exactly.
It won't work.
How do you know? you have no idea whether or not something's going to work until you try it. And that, I think, has got to be the most important point about experiments, is it's not an experiment unless you actually do something. Talking about it or thinking about it is not an experiment. That's an idea at best. You've got to actually put stuff in place and give it a go, and recognise that, and again, we've kind of touched on this previously, you also need to recognise that if your heart's not really in it, then you're probably not going to give it your best, and that will have an impact on the success or otherwise of your experiment. You know, if you're really not into the thing that you say you're going to do as an experiment, then don't do it, do something else. You know, or at the very least, get into the heart of why your heart isn't in it, or you're not feeling it. And if it's because you're worried that it's going to fail, then okay, we need to do some mindset work there. Because I can say for sure that of all the things that I have tried in my business, more of them haven't worked than have. And I'm quite glad about that, because if they'd all worked, then I definitely would be suffering from overwhelm permanently with the amount of stuff that I was trying to do. You know, it is the equation that has to be so. It has to be that more things don't work than do work for you to find the things that work really, really well. I mean, you know, we've all seen motivational quotations and all that kind of stuff. I saw a lovely one this morning, which was talking along the lines of, you know, the person that invented the light bulb worked by candlelight, you know, and other people that I think it's the people that are looking at developing renewable technologies have to have a car. They have to travel by plane. They have to do these other things. Just because they have to work with the environment they've got at the moment doesn't mean that we should put them down for striving for something different in the future, was kind of the emphasis of the post. And I thought, that's so true. You know, people who are prepared to push boundaries, and you know, you don't have to do anything as radical as some of the stuff that you or I have done in your business, but you do have to do something to try something.
And it's just so much fun. And don't assume as well that, you know, that well, I was watching Stu McLaren over the weekend and catching up with the stuff in my Connect membership, and you know, he was talking about answering questions, and he was talking about different launches that he'd done and things like that, and you know, and things that hadn't gone as well as he thought, and you know, the reasons why and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of think, really? Really? You know, it's kind of, because on the base of it, you just think like everything is like mega successful, and it's still successful to an extent, but there are areas that can be improved. And you know, he was saying exactly the same, but that's good. Unless you get it out there, unless you get that evidence and data, then you're not going to know. So you have to put stuff out there, and then you can look at it and not look at the whole thing as a complete failure, but just go, okay, all right, well, maybe that needs to be different next time, or maybe we need to stop doing that, or maybe we need to do more of this, or you know. And it's just all part of this lovely and wonderful thing called having your own business.
Absolutely right. I mean, you know, even right now, there are a couple of things I'm thinking about in terms of experimentation moving forward. One for get that course online, and one for get that website online. At this particular point in time, only one of them is more fleshed out than the other one. The other one is just an idea. Funnily enough, I shall put something probably in the ambassadors group about it, because I genuinely, it's one of those things where I think that's a good idea, but I don't really know where to start or how to go about doing it. Whereas the other one is actually, it's not a brand new experiment, it's an updated version of an experiment I've done previously, which, you know, didn't go the way I thought it would go. However, I want to try something different this time around and try it again and adjust things in a different way. I think that's probably part of the reason why I don't class any of my experiments as failures, because it's just, okay, it's a thing that didn't work, now what can we adjust to try again? You know, I think there was another story that I read about some people that invented something. I wish I could remember what it was they'd invented, but they didn't get it right for the first 41 times they tried. And then the 42nd time it worked, and worked brilliantly. So it's, you know, you just got to keep going with your experiments and keep tweaking, to keep updating, keep trying, and accept that sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes, most of the time, it's not going to work. However, that doesn't mean it won't work the next time. And,
Absolutely. So, and, you know, with it coming up to towards almost at the end of the year, we've got sort of, how long we've got, sort of 2-3 months to go. I'm not going to mention the C word, but, you know, we'll be, I'm sure, as we get towards the end of the year on the podcast and various we'll be talking about, you know, reviews of the year and everything like that. Well, you know, it's a perfect time now to start thinking about next year and what experiments you're going to put out there.
Definitely.
All about them.
Yeah, and the further ahead, I mean, yeah, I tend to sort of, you know, have an idea, implement the idea, just as you do as well. I thought about it this morning, I'm doing it this afternoon. So
you're not talking about me, are you?
Possibly. I may also be talking about myself. It's one of those things where you just go, oh, that feels like fun, let's try it. But there is also equally nothing wrong if you are more of a planned person or planning type person. There's nothing wrong with thinking now about something that you might want to implement next year, because the advantage of that is that you can work now to put things in place to cover yourself for what happens if you would need to spend an amount of time doing something, right? Yeah. So what's the opportunity cost? How much time do I spend on this thing for the potential return that it could give? And am I prepared to spend that amount of time on it if it doesn't work? It costs me money, you know, and if it does cost me money and doesn't bring in any revenue, how much am I prepared to spend on it? So, you know, we didn't talk about those parameters at all. You know, you have to think about how much time you're going to spend on it, how much money you're going to spend on it. You know, what are you prepared to lose for no financial or time gain? I mean, you can't get your time back, but, you know, presumably we're doing stuff in our business because we want to make money out of it. Let's not run away from the fact that we are in business to make money. You know, we have to make money, otherwise we can't be in business. It's, you know, one of those things. But how much time and how much money are you prepared to invest in your experiment before you say, actually, do you know what, it's probably going a little bit too far now, I need to adjust something, change something, tweak something, or just stop it for the moment until I get into a different position. So what I'm saying is, if you are the sort of person that likes to plan these things in advance, then you know, just be prepared to think about those things and then create the environment where you feel comfortable to do those experiments, and also comfortable to accept that if they don't work, that's fine, because you've planned it in, you have a contingency for it. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Well,
that was experiments, everybody.
Indeed. Phew. That was a good one. I liked that. Okay.
Okay. Dog Walking Digest next.
Indeed. What you got?
Yeah, well, so I was talking last week, wasn't I, about Jem and some of her sort of weird habits or weird episodes that she'd been having, and I was a little bit worried about her. But she seems to have picked up again this week. So, picked up, because back to her naughty self. So, So, you know, I said about sort of wandering off and then she wandered off into the road.
Yes.
And nearly got knocked over. Well, I was in the park last week, and she just sort of went off sniffing, and they're like scambles to do this as well.
Yes.
And then I'm standing there waiting, and I realised she was nowhere to be seen, and she'd actually must have crawled under some kind of undergrowth and was in somebody's back garden.
Oh God! Oh no! Oops.
You know, there's these lovely houses, you know, that back onto the park. You can imagine, can't you? And I'm like standing there going, oh God. She's not doing anything on their lawn.
Oh my word. Can you imagine?
You know, I was getting really caught, and then I'm like standing there thinking, what the hell do I do now? Because I couldn't get into myself. And then I got to the point where, literally standing there for about 15 minutes, I just thought, oh, not right. I probably have to go round onto the road now and kind of work out which house it is.
Yeah.
And I'll go knock on their door and all this sort of stuff. But what if she's kind of, if they don't have an enclosed garden, she could have wandered off into another road, you know, and I just thought, oh, my God, it all going pear-shaped. Just as I was about to sort of do this and go off into the road, she appeared out of the undergrowth. And cross with her.
Oh,
no. And then, so that was that, back to a naughty self. And then yesterday I took her out for a long walk in the afternoon, and she seemed to be full of energy again. She was running ahead and, you know, off trying to sniff things. And she jumped into the canal at one stage, had a little swim, and yeah, so aww, she's all full of energy. So, I don't know what that's about.
Well, there we are. There we are. It's just, you know, one of those things, I guess, isn't it? Something to keep an eye on, but nothing to be overly worried about at the moment.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah.
It is definitely coming up to that time of year where Scamp likes to go off and just disappear into the woods for 10-15 minutes. He's done it twice over the last sort of 3-4 walks. He's done it twice. So and it's that sort of dusky time. And I haven't quite got myself into the earlier walks yet. And of course, the clocks go back at the end of this week, so that's when the nights will get a lot darker, so I'm gonna have to get used to that again. But the thing I wanted to talk about for the dog walking digest this week is, do you buy birthday and Christmas presents for Jem?
God, no.
I'm so glad you said that, because I don't buy birthday and Christmas presents for Scamp either. But I know lots of people that do, including James, who walks Lucky in the park. Now, James, some of our listeners will possibly have actually seen my friend James, because he was on First Dates last year. So he's very big guy, ginger beard, calls himself Jimmy Love, because he was born on Valentine's Day. I mean, it's such a joke. Anyway, he's got gorgeous sort of spaniel cross Lucky, who's big mate of Scamps and all the rest of it. Now, it's Lucky's birthday at the end of this month, and last week James was talking about how he'd bought him a load of presents for his birthday, including this special mixture of food that had been shaped into a bone with the words "Happy Birthday" written on it. So I was feeling a bit sarky, and I said, "Oh yeah, he'll enjoy that when he reads it, won't he?" Like this. He's like, yeah, my dog can read, like this. And Steve was there, who's got Rosie and Winnie. And of course, yeah, I was there with Scamp. So it turned into this, you know, the Monty Python Yorkshireman sketch. It's all the one-upmanship. So as soon as he started saying, "Oh well, yeah, of course my dog can read," like this, we started just riffing all this one-upmanship with our dogs. Yeah. So it's like, "Oh yeah, well, he's fluent in 6 languages," like this. I said, "Yeah, well, you know, I don't like to brag about it, but Scamp can read Braille." And actually, he can do that in 10 languages. And then Steve piped up and said, "Yeah, well, you know, Rosie is an international translator for the UN." Like this. It all got a bit silly, all because he talked about buying this bone for Lucky with "Happy Birthday" written on it. I mean, how much has he paid for something like that? For goodness sake.
I don't know. I mean, tell a lie, though, as you were talking, we did buy Gemma a birthday present once.
Yeah, yeah.
When she was 10.
Yeah.
So, but it was something she needed as well. We bought her a new bed because her old one was kind of really sort of past its best.
Yeah.
And the kids were insisting, "Oh, she's 10, Mum, I think we should buy her something." So we bought her a new bed. So that was kind of practical, but, you know, other than that.
I know, exactly. A practical, you know, replacement item that happens to coincide with a birthday or with Christmas.
Buy it anyway, you know.
Fine, I get that. But buying a specifically made, you know, formed bone out of food with "Happy Birthday" written on it, a dog doesn't care.
He doesn't know.
All they're going is, "Brilliant, I'm getting extra food. No idea why, but thanks very much." You know.
Some would say that it is Jen's birthday every day.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, I think Scamp thinks it is when he's up at my mum's, that's for sure. Honestly. Oh, but I'm his grandma. You're not his grandma. You're my mum, and he's my dog. That's what it is. But you know what? I kind of deserve it. If I'm not going to give her grandchildren, I can put up with her calling herself grandma to a granddog. And, you know, but it doesn't matter how many times I say, "Can you not overtreat him, please? Because it, you know, it makes him ill." I have to deal with it, literally. I'm his grandma. All right, then, fine. Give him another treat.
Talking about not dogs or grandchildren, but children.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of the fact that I just got a message from Amy this morning to go, "I got paid.
No. Oh, well, that is it. It's a first paycheck, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so exciting. That is exciting.
It is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank goodness. One offspring. Self-sufficient. Hurrah.
To which I sent a little dog dancing gif, you know.
You can get some good dog dancing gifts. You certainly can. Oh, that's brilliant, though. That is an occasion, is the first paycheck. Definitely. And she's enjoying her job, is she?
Yeah, she loves it. Three weeks in. So
still got no idea what she does, but you know, that's fine. Brilliant. All right. So that was the dog walking digest with a quick detour via children. Let's not do that again.
Sorry. Do you have an agenda?
Exactly, which you veered from. I just, you know, just going to put that out there. Okay, so do we have a book this week, Cheryl?
We don't have a book.
So do we have?
No, we decided we'd have a book every week. So, you know, just when we feel like it.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. As long as we've got either a book or an event, then we'll be fine. So events, and it's same as usual, but still exciting, right?
Still exciting. We've got a few more Trainer Talk locals coming up. Mm-hmm. So we've got Telford on the 7th of November.
Yep.
We've got Cambridge on the 15th of November. And we've got Galway on the 13th of December. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have Trainer Talk Live in Kenilworth on Friday, the 6th of December. And I have to say, really funny, last time, new people booking, a lot of them seem to leave it to the last minute. Mm-hmm. But this time we're getting bookings nicely in advance.
Definitely.
So that's really good.
It is good. And I think, I mean, to be fair, I think part of that is because it's the final one of the year. So I think for some reason people don't expect to be that busy in December. So they're quite happy to book up and to secure that in their diary. And also, I do think some of it is the Trainer Talk Local effect, because as local leaders, we've also been talking about, you know, the big one, one at the end of the year. So it's great. I think it's brilliant that we're going to be welcoming so many new people along, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. So, you know, we do have a limit on these events if you are thinking of coming along. So we would appreciate it if you did get your booking in early.
Yes,
but Jeanette doesn't have to put her soul sign.
No, exactly. Or I can put it on a leave it there instead of, oh no, can we take it off again? Really? It's not really sold out then, if we're going to take it off, is it? Anyway, good. So those are the events. So all we've got left then is the online course creation top tip. Yes.
Yeah.
So this week we are talking about best practice tip number 46. And this is about using metaphors and analogies and parallels to explain concepts. So I appreciate that for a lot of people who are trainers, they may already be weaving these things into their training events, into their one-day courses, several-day courses, their training courses. However, it's worth remembering that you almost want to increase your use of these things in online courses, because what you're doing is painting a sort of a story or a picture for people. We love to learn through stories. We know that. So when you're using these sort of metaphors or analogies or parallels, you're creating the hooks in somebody's brain for them to kind of piece together how something works and how it operates. So the example I always use for this is when I had to explain to my stepdad a few years ago, he was trying to get his head around broadband and bandwidth and all that kind of stuff, and why sometimes things were really quick and sometimes things were really slow. And I was trying to explain to him, well, it depends, you know, how busy the line is, and he just couldn't get his head around it. So what I knew he did understand was sat-nav, his car's sat-nav. Mm-hmm. Which is this idea, obviously, that the sat-nav will tell you how long a journey is going to take, and it adjusts according to the amount of traffic that's on the road. So doing a route at 3 o'clock in the morning is going to be quite different to doing a route at 8 o'clock in the morning, for example, because there will be more traffic during rush hour and so on and so forth. So using that as an example and as an analogy for him to understand how bandwidth works really worked really, really well for him. So it's that sort of concept that you want to be thinking about. Now, one of the things that I used to struggle with a lot was actually coming across decent metaphors and analogies and being able to think of them in the moment when I was actually in the middle of putting the course together and thinking, right, what can I use as a metaphor for this? And I used to struggle quite a lot with that. And it is a practice thing. The more you do it, the more you are able to come across these things. So I kept practicing. But also what I did was every time I came across something that worked as a really good metaphor or analogy or parallel, and please don't worry too much about the difference between the three, as long as it's something that represents something else, it's fine. Just write them down. Just have a little file somewhere, whether that's written or whether it's electronic, so you write them down and you've got them to use. It's sort of like a library, if you like, of metaphors for you to use when the appropriate moment comes up. So, for example, I was walking scamp one day 2-3 years ago when I was still doing face-to-face training and doing management training and communications training and that kind of thing. And I saw some people playing Piggy in the Middle. And they were playing it that if the Piggy in the Middle caught the ball, the person who threw it was the one who had to go in the middle rather than the person who didn't catch it. And I'd always, growing up, played it the other way around. It was the person who didn't catch it who had to go in the middle. And I thought, isn't that just a perfect metaphor for explaining communication? It's the person who throws the ball or communicates the message. If it doesn't land where it's supposed to land, then it's the person who threw it who's in the wrong, not the person trying to receive it who's in the wrong. And that, I thought, just, you know, and it came to me as a really good metaphor in the moment. And I thought, oh, I must write that one down. And it proved to me that the more I trained my brain to think about things in this way, the easier it was to spot them everywhere in everyday life. So if you are somebody like I used to be who struggles to think of those things or you know, feels like it's a bit difficult to think of those things, just start trying to find them in everyday life. And you know what? Dr. Google helps with these things as well. Yeah, absolutely. And the reason I say Dr. Google is, you know, some of the most searched stuff is people's ailments on the internet, just to, you know, fun trivia for you there. So there we are. There we have it. That's what we'll end on this week. So another good one in the can, Sharon. I think we are, we're over an hour and five on this one.
We're
getting quite steady at this sort of time length, aren't we? So very good. Yeah. Well done, not us. Right. Absolutely. It's not bad for an experiment, this podcast, is it?
No, experiment has been going on a year.
Exactly. I think we'll call it established now. Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you once again for your time and patience, our lovely listeners. As usual, you can get hold of us through the usual methods. So at Trainer Talk Pod is the Twitter name that we have, or you can get in touch with Sharon, sharon@thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk, or me, Jeanette, and I'm at gt@getthatcourseonline.com. So there we go. Until next week.
Yeah, until next week. That's all for now.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.